Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Mark German, good afternoon to you, sir.
Afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Lovely, man. Cannot complain. God is good. And I'm hoping that you've had a good day so far.
Yes. How about you in South Africa? Is it?
No, yeah. We're in South Africa and we've had a fantastic, fantastic day. Thank you so much for asking.
Beautiful.
Now, we're continuing to talk about the VOP lesson, connecting from yesterday. And a lot of people have bought into the idea that religion is a strictly private matter and that being a part of a church, attending a church service regularly, isn't important to their spiritual well-being. And so today, the lesson seeks to address exactly that. So, my elder, please take us through today's lesson on the purpose of the church.
All right. I think yesterday during our discussion, I used the quotation from the book Acts of Apostles, page number 9, paragraph 1, where the pen of distribution had this to say, the church is God's agents, appointed agents for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its purpose is to carry the gospel to the whole world. And so individuals do need the church because it is the fellowship we have as individuals, as people, that helps us to grow. And today we will look at three major roles that the church plays in our day-to-day life in the Christian world. And so to begin with, I would like to say, in the first place, the church guards the truth. You know, just like bees without hive cannot produce honey. Without the church, we cannot grow and we cannot have the fellowship. We cannot learn much about the truth. So in the first place, the church is there to uphold and defend God's truth before the world. You know, with our fallen nature, it's easy for individuals to follow our own points of view. In my view, I can decide having five women as my wives is not sin. You conduct your life or based on what you think and what you find to be. It is through the church, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and the day by day upholding the truth and defending the character of God. And on the second note, also an example of what God's grace can do for the sinners. You know, when we look at where we are coming from, where we were, some of us were thieves, others were robbers, you know, and others were engaged in prostitution. When you look at how Christ has redeemed us from the world and brought a special here, church is just a beautiful place to be. Can communicate, we can come together. That's why in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are the special people before God. And the reason why God has called us out of the darkness, out of the world, is to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the praises to Him before the world. So in the first place, like I said, the church is there to guard the truth, to uphold it. And secondly, the church is an example of what God's grace can do for sinners, for you and for me. And on third note, the God's church is there so that we can witness to the world what Christ has done and how Christ is working to have us saved without the loss of one. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, Jesus, before ascending to heaven, he told the disciple, he promised them to say, okay, you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses to in Jerusalem, in Judea, of the earth. And so this is one of the major role that the church plays, that's proclaiming the truth to the world. And you know, in my personal opinion, I love to say, if there is a tremendous privilege and honor God has also bestowed on humanity, comes in this area where we are allowed to go and preach the truth. We are given the power to go and proclaim the gospel. You know, angels in the Bible are not known with the proclamation of the gospel. They are sent to tell men what to do, but when it comes to preaching, when it comes to ministering to other fellow human beings, God entrusted us. That's why in the book Christian Service, page number 7, Ellen White says, as his representatives among men, God does not choose angels who have never fallen, but human beings. Human beings, and she continues to say, those who Christ took humanity that he might reach humanity. So a divine human savior was needed so that the truth would be proclaimed to the world. So it is a great privilege for the message of God to the whole world. And for those three major roles, the church was established and the church still exists up to this day.
Yeah, well, that's a mouthful. Thank you so much for that. Now, on the point of, you know, the church guarding the truth, is it not possible for an entire group to go off an erroneous doctrinal detour? Can a group of believers not lead each other astray?
Yes, it is possible. And it, we have seen how the numerous churches we have in the world, in the country. For example, here in Malawi, we have about 500 plus churches. But one notable thing is that sin is growing, and the people are continuing in sin. And so it's possible that a group of people, a church in general, can lead each other astray, can lead the people astray. Now, that's why I stressed the importance yesterday as we were discussing that the church that Jesus established, as we read in Matthew 16, verse 18, I believe, in yesterday's lesson, I said the church that Jesus established is what we call God's church. It's the church of Jesus himself. And this is the only true church. And how do you recognize the true church? The true church, in the first place, just like the husband is the head of the family, Christ is also the head of the church. So the true church should do everything that Jesus commands the church to do. The good, the God's church should always keep the Ten Commandments. God's church should always abide by the law, should always tell people what is right. Those are the factors that define the true church. So when we talk about the church playing a major role in telling the world, defending the truth of God, not every church, of course, it is only the church of God. And how do we know the church of God? Like, say, the primary role of the true church of God is to uphold and defend the Ten Commandments, which includes the Sabbath keeping commandment.
Is the true church perfect? Does it not have errors? Everything is upright and moral and 100% okay?
All right. I'll give you an example of what happened during Jesus' time. Jesus was born in the true church, the church of God. But the leaders were corrupt. In Matthew chapter number 23, I believe, first three verses, the Jews gathered round about Jesus, including the disciples and the church leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. And so Jesus addressed the disciples. He addressed the Israelites. He said, the Pharisees sit in Moses, you know, seats. Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, but do not fall after their character. For they say one thing and do something else. And so the church of God is always perfect. It may appear as to fall, but it will not fall. Now, the fact that the church of God is the true church does not mean some people will not inject errors into it. Jesus had 12 disciples. One among them was a devil. We know him. Judas Iscariot.
Mm, mm.
But then Jesus did not tell the disciples, okay, since the church is corrupt, the leaders are corrupt, they are not honest, you should leave the church. Instead, he warned them of hypocrisy that would creep into the church. In the book, Great Controversy, we see that over the years, the Church of God has suffered a number of persecution within the church from the people who do not serve God wholeheartedly.
Mm.
Those who are the ones that make the church. And so if you ask me, is the Church of God perfect? I would definitely say, since God is perfect, the church is perfect. But the people sometimes do err.
Yes, true. And so, because you see, what may tempt people not to be able to look and be able to see rather and recognize a true church is because of those errors exactly. So what does the true church then do in order to make sure that it is clear and evident, in spite of the fact that there are people who are making errors and there are people who are actually messing up the image of the true church? What is it that the true church then should do to make sure that its image as the true church remains standing?
I might say, okay, looking at the period the Church of God has gone through, when we go to Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3, where we see seven churches, Jesus sending letters to them, it is obvious that the church will always have some strange doctrines brought in by the devil through his agencies. So don't go to the church nearest to your house. Don't go to the church because you like the pastor, you like whatever. First, look at the church doctrine. What does it say? Because that does not completely say the church will not have people with issues. But then the church should also make sure that the individuals are living up to the standards of God by helping them when they fall, by teaching them how to hold the truth, by helping them to live day by day as God is expecting them to live. So the church has a big role, not just to the outsiders, but to the people within. But all in all, it's not a promise God said that the church will not have problems. The church will not have, crooks. No, that's not the problem. We might have the pastors that are not true to God. We will experience people who are violating the law of God, who are not keeping the Sabbath. But this should not stand as something to hinder people from coming into the church. Yes, it has an effect on the people. We cannot run away from that. But I want to stress the importance that the true church will always remain the true church. That's why Jesus said, on this rock, I will establish the rock, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. And once again, the church may appear as to fall, but it will not fall until Jesus Christ comes back. So the church, yes, will have drunkards, will have Sabbath breakers, the church will have prostitutes, and we have seen that throughout the ages. But one thing so true is that the church of God will prevail.
Beautiful. I think you also mentioned that yesterday. So we do appreciate that indeed it may look like it will fall, but it will not fall. And I think the message that you would want to send to those who are listening, I mean, I'm interested in this quotation that you're making, that it may look like it will fall. And I'm remembering the story of Uzzah in the Bible. Remember what was it that was looking like it was going to fall and God struck him dead? Yeah, please talk to those who are in the church about that.
All right. You know, God has sent us to do his work. He has just entrusted us. I think in Matthew chapter number 13, if I'm not mistaken, we find the parable of the wheat and the tares. And so the disciples came to Jesus, said, okay, master, the servants rather in the parable, said, okay, master, give us a go ahead. We want to go and uproot the weeds. And God said, no, 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 no. You wait, let the tares and the wheat grow together until the time of what? of harvest.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the story of Uzzah as well, we see that he was trying to, you know, protect God. He was trying to protect the church, but God has his own ways. So for those of us who are frustrated because we have a pastor who is fornicating, for those of us who are, you know, frustrated because they are drunkards, there are some people who open the shops on Sabbath, and somehow we seem like the church is going, you know, some people use the phrase, okay, the church was, used to be the church back then, not now. The church has fallen, the church has been sold, and all those allegations. But one thing I know individually and on the basis of the Bible is that the church will always stand. And you should never, ever make a mistake of leaving this church. Because if you're leaving this church, where are you going to? Because there is only one true church, and that true church of God is the one we are.
Mm.
And so whatever happens, we are to stay.
Stick it out. Stick it out. Stay in the ark. Is that what you're
saying? Yes. Sure.
All right, fantastic. Well, Mark German, thank you so much for your time. We are so grateful that you always make time here for us here at AWR. Blessings to you and abundance and abundance and abundance for you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome.
Lovely. Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.